November 30th meeting of the Commission on Enhancing Agency Outcomes. My name is James Spallone. I'm the co-chair of this commission, along with Senator Gail Schlossberg, who's also the co-chair of this commission, and we're also co-chairs of the Government Administration Elections Committee. We're pleased to have a number of the members appear here today to pick up where we left off last spring. I think that we have on the agenda the first item after convening the meeting is remarks by the chairs. Before we begin that, I would just like to mention that, first of all, we are on CTN today, so that the members of the commission should use the microphone when they're speaking. And also, several members contacted our commission clerk to indicate that they were unable to attend. Representative John Hetherington due to illness, Representative Mary Mashinsky due to family illness, Shelley Gabel due to teaching at Yale, Representative Candelora due to previous commitment, and Representative Robert Megna due to previous commitment. And Senator Duff also had a business commitment today. Before, I think I might have a couple of comments, but I know that Senator Schlossberg has some remarks to begin our meeting today, so I would turn the floor over to Senator Schlossberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good afternoon to everyone here. Welcome back. I'd like to, in particular, welcome Senator Kissel and Representative Mashinsky, who are new members to the commission, who are the distinguished co-chairs of Program Review and Investigations, and we're delighted to have you here, and we look forward to working with you and Representative Mashinsky on our very important charge. And thank you all for coming here. Here's Representative Mashinsky. Nice to see you. As you all know, this commission has a broad charge and a mighty task ahead, and that is to enhance our agency outcomes, reorganize or restructure, basically whatever it takes to make government work better for the people in our state, to make it work smarter, more efficient, to help people step up to a better life and not be an obstacle to prosperity. And although the recession is, quote, over, as the economic analysts tell us, we know that Connecticut is still suffering the aftershocks and will continue to struggle for the next several years. We know that state revenues have continued to decline. Our income tax receipts are weak. We're $181.1 million less in the first quarter of this fiscal year than we were in the last fiscal year. Our unemployment is at record levels at 8.4% in September. We still have businesses closing in our communities, and families are still struggling. Our state, with our current struggles, is facing a multi-billion dollar structural deficit for the next biennium. And as we all know, we just faced an $8.5 billion deficit. And to close that gap, we had to use all of our one-time revenues, our one-time shots available to us, the rainy day fund, borrowing, federal stimulus dollars. And those options will not be available to us in the next round. As it stands, our current system is unsustainable, and we must change the way our government works. It can't be business as usual anymore. So, our commission has the job of considering a host of ideas, and we're going to be passing out a list shortly, and each one of us will look at that list in our own way. I just wanted to share with you some of the things that are on my mind when I am looking at this list, and as the list grows and then is culled and prioritized, what some of the things are that I'd be looking at. Right now, I'm interested most in proposals that will help Connecticut's economy get back in gear. The most important outcome that I believe that we can have is to have a state where people can get a decent job. So supporting businesses, economic development, helping people with job skills, retraining, and education are all areas that are important that I believe that we need to be focusing on. Developing a state structure that supports these outcomes rather than creating stumbling blocks to progress. Obviously, we'll be looking for proposals that improve the delivery of service to people, looking at the consumers of those services, whether it's human services or the Department of Motor Vehicles, not to single those out, but often those come to mind when people are talking about consumers and the recipients of delivery of services. And I'd just like to make one comment before we go further with that. Some people will look at this commission and think that this is an effort, that this may be, you know, that some of the comments that we receive are directed at the people who work in state government. And I want to just very clearly state to all of the good people who work as our state employees in state government, we have good, hardworking people. No one gets up in the morning and says, I'm going to work and I'm going to do a bad job today. People go to work and they work in the environment and the system and the structure that's been set up for them. The problem is not with the people who work there, but with the system that has been created. And that is something that we need to be keeping in mind as we go forward with this process. We need to be accountable to the taxpayers so that we get the most value for our tax dollar. As the time goes on and we have less money means it is more important that every dollar we spend wisely. To that end, just a nod to our friends who are doing results-based accountability, who are focusing on outcomes as we speak. They've made great progress in the area, and we look to build on that progress. And ultimately, of course, we need to be saving money. We recognize that we've already been slotted for savings in the budget. An interesting task that we have going forward. It's already in the budget. You know what? It's time to call it what it is. So we've already got our job set for us in that area. So we've got a lot of work to do. Those are just a few of the criteria that I'll be considering, and I look forward to hearing what the prism is that you will be using to look at this list. It may sound extremely daunting going forward, but I think we have an exciting opportunity ahead of us. It is not a small nor a simple task. It will take time. Anyone who takes the list that we are going to hand out and seeks to plop it into some proposal in the next week or 2 weeks or months is doing us all a disservice. The proposals that we'll be handing out are just that. They're proposals. They're ideas. They're beginnings of things that we can work on to move forward with. But whatever we have to do, there are no quick answers. And it will take time and careful consideration. I believe that we have an incredible chance to make a great impact on how our state works, and I look forward to working with all of the members of the commission, and I appreciate your indulgence in my comments this morning. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator. My comments, I just wanted to mention some changes in our charge. I think everybody has a copy of Public Act 09-7 from the September special session. And there are a few changes from what was passed back in, I think it was March. One of them is that there is no specific mention in subsection A of certain departments that might be subject to merger, but rather we're to consider the merger of agencies and the streamlining of state operations. So that gives us really an opportunity to weigh in on the whole scope of state government. We've had the addition of the chairpersons and ranking members of the budget committees and the Program Review and Investigations Committee. We have on subsection E the addition of some staff, which we really appreciate, from the Program Review and Investigations Committee. Important to note with the calendar is that we're supposed to have a preliminary report prepared by February 1st of 2010. So we'll discuss the schedule later and how we're planning to get there. And then the final report by the end of next year. So these are some of the minor changes, but I think are important to bear in mind as we go forward. As I see constituents in my district and other people in the state, the issue does come up, what are we going to do about the structure of our state government? Can we indeed find savings there? And I say that we started to work on it and we're continuing, and I welcome any ideas or suggestions people have. Just as a quick review, this commission did meet a couple of times in the spring in formal session, but we also had three field hearings where members of the public came, including Danbury and New Haven, and we also had We also had some presentations regarding technology, regarding the delivery of human services. And then, of course, we got to the end of the legislative session, and everyone knows the history from there about having to try and cobble together a budget and reach some kind of agreement between the chambers and the executive branch and where we went. So I think I speak for Senator Schlossberg and myself in saying that we welcome this challenge and look forward to working with the very talented group that we have here. And at this point, our commission clerk, Jared Krupiak, does have the area of focus to pass out to everybody, which is marked preliminary. Certainly open to further review and amendment.
Just while the clerk is handing this out, I just want to be clear on what we're handing out, and he'll make them available for the public as well. These are proposed ideas. There's no judgments that have been made here. They could be good, they could be bad. Some people may like some of them, some people may hate some of them. We took them all. Anything that was submitted, we put on the list. If members have additional ideas after reviewing this list, we'll have an opportunity in the next 2 weeks to add ideas. We're planning on, I don't want to get ahead on our agenda, but if you take a quick run through the list, and you know, take a look at them, start to think about what you think makes sense or what doesn't make sense, or what, you know, where you think we need some more research. What we will be doing eventually is categorizing ideas in terms of short-term projects versus long-term projects. Some things we may be able to do more quickly than others, some things we may want to do or may not want to do, and then to think about priorities. In what order would we want to be doing these things if we want to be doing them, recognizing that we have limited resources and we're not going to be able to do everything all at once. So we'll give everybody a chance to sort of take a look at the list and see if there are any questions about the list. I'll be honest, we may not have answers about some of the things because some of them were literally just emails that we'd received in terms of proposals, but it is a place to start, some very large, some much smaller. So, Senator LeBeau.
Taking questions right now, Madam Chair?
Sure, we'll give it a try.
Number 14, enforced use of P-cards. What's a P-card? It says review audit findings. I'm not familiar with
it. Sure. A P-card is a purchase card, and all state agencies are required to be using purchase cards to help keep track of their purchases. Okay. And the auditors consistently find that there are certain agencies that are, well, just not so consistent about using them, and they believe that both for auditing purposes, accountability purposes, and for cost controls, it would make a lot more sense if they were using those purchase cards.
Thank you.
Senator McLaughlin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I am looking at this list for the first time, but in a first review, I don't see anything that talks about the potential areas of privatization of state government services. And I wonder if you and your co-chair could share your viewpoint on those possibilities.
Well, I think at this point we're taking all possibilities. As I said, we're not shutting out anything. So if there is a proposal that you have in terms of privatization or particular areas, that's certainly something that the commission could accept to add to the list. Again, this is just the beginning of the list. I expect this to grow, and we're expecting, you know, over the next 2 weeks to have additions to this. So if that's something that you'd like to see, then certainly that's something that could potentially be added.
Because of the absence of privatization on your initial proposed areas of focus, is there concern on the part of the co-chairs that may be a difficult avenue to pursue?
This list doesn't have any judgments attached to it at all in terms of what's difficult. I think there's a lot of things on here that would be very difficult and large and massive. As a matter of fact, I don't think any changes are easy when it comes to government. You know, as we've seen from some of the preliminary work we've done. So there's no judgment here whatsoever. And again, if that's something that you'd like to propose to be on there, that's certainly something that we could be that could potentially be on the list. We're not excluding anything on purpose. We took everything that we had in front of us when we drafted the list.
Thank you.
Senator LeBeau.
Just like to point out to the good senator that number 18 is exploring the privatization of Medicaid services and Department of Corrections. So there is some privatization that's been on there, and I'm sure the chairs will entertain more suggestions if you have them, Senator.
I would point out as
thank
well.
Thank you, Senator.
Would point out as well that number 19 and 20 talk about using managed competition, which is another term that involves both privatization and the possibility of getting agencies to compete within government to provide services. I think that follows along Senator McLaughlin's ideas.
Are there any further questions? Yes. Representative Minor.
Thank you. As I understand the way the budget was crafted, we have about a $3 million target for this fiscal year. And I wonder if we might consider ideas that will get us to that threshold sooner rather than later so our deficit doesn't continue to grow. And to that end, last year I had considered whether or not we should be adding sessional staff to a population of employees that the state already has, and that perhaps that would be the first step that we could take by not growing government in the upcoming session. All these employees are eligible to partake in state health care. They're eligible for unemployment when they leave state service. It just seems to me, knowing that our deficit continues to grow, this would be something that we, in all four caucuses, could take a look at sooner rather than later, so that it isn't something that kind of gets away from us before we start our session. So I don't know if you'd want to add that to the front of the list as a friendly request.
Thank you. Representative Minor, I remember you're bringing this up before, but I didn't quite understand where you're headed, what you mean. Could you elaborate a little bit?
What I mean is I remember some discussion last year where the estimate was that it was approximately $1 million for that payroll over the long session. And it seems to me that could get us almost a third of the way to where we are projected to be in terms of this committee's obligation to come up with ideas that are going to try and create some efficiencies. I understand that that's going to be a problem for some committees. I don't doubt for one minute it's going to require people to do more than they've had to do in the past. But where I'm going is that if we don't make a decision, all four caucuses, not to hire new employees in the next 2 months, we can study this all we want, but that will have gone. That will have run its course. And last week we had a meeting, maybe the week before, with the seven or eight folks that had been advising the governor and her staff about the future economics of the state of Connecticut. And every one of them talked about an unemployment level that was going to continue for the next 5 or 6 years. So the prospect of folks that come to work on a part-time basis for the state of Connecticut finding employment once they leave at the end of our session is not likely. So we're looking at an unemployment obligation in addition to what the payroll was. And I haven't asked anybody to run those numbers yet on what those numbers were last year, but I'll bet they're pretty significant, and they are eligible. So that's what I'm after.
Yes, Bill.
Could I add some things to your list already, or at least expand on the items that are here?
Well, I think what I'd like to do, sure, by all means, why don't you, I think if there are people who have suggestions that we want to take right now, that's fine, but I think we're going to ask you to probably put them in writing as well so that we have, that we have something going forward
sure.
to work off of. So I don't know if it, you know, if you feel comfortable that you'd like to discuss them now, that's fine.
Well, I think there are some things that could be expanded on in this list. Number 21, for example, using the Internet to allow residents to determine the time and place of receiving services, pretty much is an e-government suggestion, which is to facilitate citizens being able to have a one-stop shop for their licenses and permits and so forth. And I think that could generate considerable savings over the long run. Another idea is to the contracting out for information technology. I noticed in the Wall Street Journal a couple of weeks ago an advertisement from Google which suggested that 50% of state governments use Google or some variant thereof to enhance their IT functions. Presumably, that service is probably going to be cheaper than some of the IT services that we do in-house, and that could refer to number 20 in terms of using managed competition for certain information technology services. I think if we pursue what the chairs did last year and ask for some presentations on information technology we got last year from IBM, I think if we could ask the Gartner group down in Stanford to do some pro bono work for us to make some suggestions or to make just a presentation, it would be very helpful to us in determining what would make sense in information technology and what would not. One of the items that another item which is only vaguely alluded to here, I think, is the potential use of intensive probation to relieve the pressure on the corrections system. The Pew Center on the States last year in March of 2009, did an extensive analysis of the possibilities of using intensive probation to move folks who are nonviolent and are close to the end of their sentences out of the prison system into intensive supervised probation. If we could move a thousand such prisoners, and I think that's within the realm of possibility, into the community under intensive probation, it would facilitate them getting jobs when they get out, but it would also relieve the pressure on the prisons and allow us to close a prison. Senator Kissel, I'm sorry about that, but I think there's we're not talking about laying people off in the prison in the correction system, I think, because there is such an overuse of overtime. Not I shouldn't say overuse of overtime. There is such a use of overtime currently that we wouldn't need to lay people off if we were to reduce the number of the population size in the prison. And we could save maybe $20 to $25 million, according to estimates I think that the Pew Center has provided, by doing that. Another possibility is to expand alternatives to incarceration for the mentally ill. That's actually a list that's on this list here somewhere. It's number 17. Which I think would not only be less expensive, and again, we're talking about nonviolent folks who are just in prison largely because they're mentally ill, but if we move them into the community, we'd reduce the pressure on the prisons as well as possibly qualify for additional federal aid. And so I think there's some potential for savings there. And then one other final thing is to, and again, this is in here somewhere, to consolidate the steering function for education and training programs, which the Program and Review Investigations Committee has talked about, I believe, and the Office of Workforce Competitiveness has made a presentation recently to a task force about. Right now what we have is a crazy quilt of education and training programs. There needs to be, as you've suggested, a consolidation of steering functions for various programs, and this seems to me to be a primary candidate. So I would like to, as you suggest, I will provide some written comments, but I think we need to focus on some of these alternatives because I think there's considerable potential for savings here without affecting the public safety and without adversely affecting the public health and the quality of life in the state. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there other further comments or questions? Yes, Representative Mashinsky.
We do talk about untapped federal dollars on somewhere in here. I forget where I saw it. Oh, 25, yeah, 27. I'd like to see something of an incentive for state employees that are very good at finding untapped federal money, some kind of a merit-based system where if an agency or a commission found substantial federal dollars that we weren't aware of and they made us eligible for them, that there would be some kind of incentive for that agency or commission. So they're always out there hustling, basically, on behalf of the state of Connecticut. And The other thing is, I assume that this list, some of this list comes from talking to National Conference of State Legislatures and Council of State Governments, but if it is, if it doesn't, our staff should definitely talk to them, because that can help winnow down this list, which is extensive, and we can focus on the most cost-effective and the ones that will produce the most savings quickest by talking to these national groups that have already had some experience with this in the other states.
Thank you. All very good comments. Are there other comments from the members? Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. A couple issues. Senator McLaughlin talked about privatization. I think we should also look at going the other way in some cases. I was at a tour of Southbury Training School, for instance, a week or so ago, and they do a lot of their capital improvements with existing employees. And we should actually find out in those cases, are they doing it cheaper than going out to a bid to a private contractor? We should know for sure, as we have done through our contracting standards policies over the time. And also, we talked about this a lot during the budget negotiations, but the issue of owning versus leasing state buildings. And I think in this down real estate market, we should look at buying certain state buildings that we're paying, especially where we're paying higher than market rents, because I think we could save some money with cash-strapped landlords out there in a lower real estate market, and we should explore the inventory of state buildings and see where, you know, where there might be opportunities to acquire some of these things rather than pay exorbitant rents. For instance, we are paying something like $750,000 a year over in the G. Fox building for not having the banking department there for the last 5 years, and I think that was money we just threw away. So I think we should look at both of those aspects. Thank you.
Terrific. Are there other comments? Okay. So, going forward, where are we going from here? Just so you know. Yes. Senator LeBeau.
No, that's all right. I was trying to find some notes on a meeting that I attended some time ago with CBIA, who have an idea of a prison reform project that they have not really brought to us yet. But I believe it's called the Prodigal Project down in either Georgia or Florida, and they reduced their recidivism rate. I think our recidivism rate is somewhere around 50%. I think it might even be 60%. And they reduced their recidivism rate to 9%. That would have, along the lines of former Secretary Sebas mentioned in terms of saving dollars, if we could have that kind of an impact. There's some specialty actions that need to be taken, connection with jobs, some other things, but certainly a very worthwhile project to look at as a potential cost saver.
Thank you. Okay, so any other comments? Here, so the question is, where do we go from here? And the next step here is, again, this list is just the beginning. For the next 2 weeks, Jamie and I are asking is for you guys to take a look at this list, to talk to whoever it is that you can, and add to this list or dig deeper into this list in terms of, if there's a potential area that you think is a good idea and you want to take a look at that, take a look at it. Dig a little bit more, because what's going to happen is in 2 weeks we're going to have a meeting where we're going to open the doors to the public to add to the list, not to come and say, don't do number 47, that's a bad idea, we don't want to do that. Right now we're just trying to get as many ideas as we can, and we'll call the list after we can get as many ideas on the list as possible. We need all the good ideas we can come up with. It doesn't matter where it comes from, and it's important. There are a lot of, the public are consumers of our services and often have the best ideas. So we want to open the doors to the public and see. We may get no one, we may get three people, we may get 500 people. I don't know, but I think it's important for us to open the doors and have the public participate in this process. Once we have all of those ideas put together on paper, we're going to take the holiday time, which I know you'll all be so happy to be doing in this part-time job we have,
take that holiday time and really spend some time looking at the list, because then when we come back right after the right in January, we'll have a meeting in the first week, and that particular meeting will be to go through the list. And at that point, pick out, categorize, these are short-term things, these are the things that could possibly be done on a quick basis. Some of the other things would be a longer-term list, and then prioritize within those two categories. Because although there is so much here, and I think that we'd all like to look at everything. I mean, I don't want to leave anything out. On the other hand, we have limited resources. We don't have the dollars to hire consultants right now to go out and do this work and research for us. So we will rely on our very able staff from PRI, but they also have limitations as to what they can get done. So we're going to have to prioritize what we want to study and what research we want to go forward with. So if I could, that's what I would ask of the members of this commission to really start thinking about. In the meantime, Jamie and I, our doors are open. If people want to talk about this or, bang some ideas around or whatnot, that's really important that we're able to do so, because ultimately, at the end of the day, we want the best ideas to come forward, the things that are really going to help us change the landscape and set the process in motion so that the next biennial budget is looking brighter than it is currently. So with that, Mr. Chairman, do you have any further comments?
Nothing further at this
time.
Okay.
Representative Minor?
Thank you again, Madam Chair. I was wondering, at the time of that public hearing, some people have expressed to me the difficulty in getting up here for a public hearing. Is there a web address that people can communicate with us? Is there also a mail address that we can get out so people can communicate with us? And additionally, the governor's mitigation proposal, I think we all know, includes some light touches or hard touches on local government in terms of asking them to participate in the difficult time we face. I wonder if we've considered including possibly some comments from municipal officials as a way to perhaps do government a little differently. But they may have some things they want to offer to us, and I don't think they generally consider themselves members of the public. So
Your points are well taken. Mr. Clerk, do you have a web address or mail address that you might be able to announce for us while we're sitting here?
The email address or the website is actually found on the GAE webpage, which is cga.ct.gov/GAE. I believe it's /CEAO. And on that website, you'll find all the materials pertaining to this task force's responsibilities, as well as an online submission site for ideas and proposals. And all documents that have been provided to commission members today will also be available online by the close of business today as well.
Yes. Deputy Secretary Cicchetti.
Thank you. As we move forward with reviewing the list, my preliminary analysis looks like a lot of these items are longer-term changes to the way the state works. And a lot of them are very good ideas that we should pursue. To get back to what Representative Minor questioned earlier, we do have money in this year's budget attributable to the work of this commission. So I'm assuming at some point we're going to, as we go through and prioritize, we're going to sort of separate out what are we going to grab for this year versus what are these more longer term, because as we know, we're already in deficit this year. We don't want to make it worse by our own actions here.
Sure. Yes. Thank you. And your comments are great. That's what we were talking about in terms of when we get back together and we have a list to be able to look at things that are short term. To me, short term means what can we do right now or in the near future versus long term, what's going to take us 3 to 5 years to really, right the ship. So. Yes, Senator LeBeau.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. And going along with what Mike just raised, and I would actually, since Mike is with OPM has experience in doing this, I'm wondering whether it might be good for us to have some. Representative Minor mentioned he mentioned a target of $3 billion, but I'm not sure we have a target. Yeah, $3 million. We have a target of $3 million of savings. $3 million. Okay. I thought you were going for the whole thing.
If I'll just interrupt you, it's $3 million for this year, not $3
billion. That is our target for savings for this year.
For this
$3
year. Yes, it is.
That's not a whole lot of money. I'm wondering if...
Yeah, I don't think anybody will holler if we come up with some good ideas that are implementable this year that would save us more than $3 million. That would be perfectly fine, I'm sure.
I think we should think about I'm not sure what is realistic in terms of looking at this list and what we might be able to implement. But I think we should come up with a target that would stretch us in terms of trying to find savings, both for the short term and for the long term, that we might have some projections as to what those savings might be, say, going out to the next biennial budget. And recognizing that many of the ideas here would take some time to implement. But I think that would be, there's a kind of a thing. I work out at a gym and they say what gets measured gets improved, and that goes along with the RBA thought. And I think if we have a target of a certain dollar amount, we're going to more likely reach it than if we don't. Something for the committee to think about, and I'd raise that as a suggestion.
Thank you. Yes.
Just to allay Senator LeBeau's concern, the target for next year is $50 million from this project. So there is an enhanced target that we need to reach, and it goes along with Secretary Cicchetti's suggestion that we need to work both on short-term and medium-term and long-term suggestions. I'd also point out, frankly, that I think the governor and the legislature need to take credit in building this year's biennial budget, because a number of items that were suggested by this commission and its members last spring were, in fact, incorporated into the budget for fiscal 10 and fiscal 11. I think people of Connecticut need to know and need to praise the governor and the legislature for doing that. I mentioned, among other things, the SAGA waiver that Representative Mashinsky mentioned, that I believe is already included in the budget. And there are some areas in DSS in terms of continuum of care that was included in the budget under Representative Garagosian's direction. And so there are a number of things there already that actually save in excess of probably $150 to $200 million. So we, the legislature need not hang its head in shame here. They've worked hard on this. Spoken as a non-legislator.
That's what I was going to say. You're the person sitting here who's the non-legislator, so thank you. Are there other comments? Okay, hearing none. If there are no further comments, then our next meeting, I don't believe we actually have a date set yet, but it should be within 2 weeks. I know everyone's excited about that, but we do need to be working on this, so we'll do the best that we can. You'll be getting an email as to the date of our next meeting, and it will be on the website as well, and we'll give the public an opportunity at that point as well. If committee members have additional ideas that they want proposed, you don't have to wait for 2 weeks. You certainly get it to us before then or on that day. So we look forward to the next meeting, and thank you again for all your future hard work. With that, is there a motion to adjourn? We are adjourned.